a song can bring back lots of memories, and today we were singing You Are My Hiding Place. 1986 and 87 we spent in China, and we were teaching English in China, and we found that singing songs was a good way of teaching young people how, you know, vocabulary. And so one of their favorite songs was You Are My Hiding Place. And our translators class chose that to sing for graduation. We went to a big ceremony, and it was graduation classes from all over the city. It was just a small city in China, about 2 million people. And ours was the only one that was English speaking, and our students sang, "He is my hiding place." And so that brought back lots of memories to me. You know, when Jamie asked for suggestions in the book of Psalms that he could teach on, I suggested Psalm 62 because it was one of my favorite ones. And then he asked why, and I think I'm going a little different direction today, but when I thought about it, I thought about the danger of putting our expectations in other people and in material things. And the key verse for me in Psalm 62:5 is, "My soul, waits thou only upon God, because my expectation is from him." And I had a Bible teacher at one time said, "You know, I think David had this little door to his heart," and he'd say, "Soul, soul, wait thou only upon God, because my expectation is from him." Through the years, I've tried to read through the Bible every year. For a period of time, I'd read through a different translation every year. And then there was a period of time when I would read through Psalms and Proverbs every month. I think it was a suggestion of Billy Graham, something that he did. And if you read 5 Psalms a day and 1 Proverbs, you go through Psalms and Proverbs every month. So some read the first 5 Psalms. Well, I did it in a sequence of 30, 60, 90, 120. If I was reading Psalm 1, it would be 1, you know, 31, 61. And, you know, it's good because Psalms deals with that relationship we have with the Lord. And, you know, David is so real. I love it. He makes me feel good sometimes when he's crying out. And then Proverbs helps us deal in our relationships with other people. So if you've never tried it, I might suggest it. And so today we're going to go through Psalm 62, and I've asked my husband Richard to read it to you. I chose to do it out of the New American Standard Version. I read all the versions. When I study, I find the one I like the best and says it in a way that I can understand it, and for what I wanted to teach today. And so if you want to stand as we read the word.
Yeah, would you stand with me, please? And we stand before the God of heaven and earth. My soul waits in silence for God only. From him is my salvation. He only is my rock and my salvation, my stronghold. I shall not be greatly shaken. How long will you assail a man that you may murder him, all of you, like a leaning wall, like a tottering fence? They have counseled only to thrust him down from his high position. They delight in falsehood. They bless with their mouth, but inwardly they curse. Selah. My soul, wait in silence for God only, for my hope is from him. He only is my rock and my salvation, my stronghold. I shall not be shaken. On God my salvation and my glory rest. The rock of my strength, my refuge is in God. Trust him at all times, O people. Pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us. Selah. Men of low degree are only vanity, and men of rank are a lie. In the balances they go up, they are together lighter than breath. Do not trust in oppression, and do not vainly hope in robbery. If riches increase, do not set your heart upon them. Once God has spoken, twice I have heard this. That power belongs to God, and loving kindness is yours, O Lord, for you recompense a man according to his work.
Thanks, Richard. I titled it Wait on God Only. Some people have called it the only psalm, because if you look through it, you'll see how many times the word only is used. David's just waiting on the Lord in silence right now. Must have great faith at the time, but he's not always like that, is he? Over and over in Psalms, you see him crying out to the Lord. Matter of fact, one psalm back in Psalm 61, he says, "My heart is overwhelmed within me. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I am." Probably the situation he is in is his son Absalom is out to get him and dethrone him, and Shimei, Absalom's servant, has called out threats to David, and he's thrown stones at him, and he was fleeing from his son Absalom. He was always fleeing. Usually it was out of jealousy. There was Saul. He didn't like it because they've said that David had killed a lot more men than him. And so a lot of the times in Psalms we see that David is crying out to the Lord. But in this psalm, he's waiting on the Lord. And that word waiting literally means in silence or silence. It doesn't mean, you know, we're idle or indifferent. You know, sometimes waiting is harder than working. Isn't that true? We've just spent, well, two different sessions in the hospital in Seattle with our grandson waiting in the waiting room. As of yesterday, he's been there 3 months, and we have a lot more waiting to do. It would be easy if I could just do something. Have you ever heard anybody say, just do something, even if it's wrong, do something? And usually if you do something, it's wrong, right? You know, I'm not good at waiting. It's not my gift. I'm one of those, when I was a little kid, you know, usually I'd have the Christmas package opened and closed, and then suddenly my mother discovered that I was doing that, and so she'd hide it. Well, then the game was to find the present and then open it and close it and put it back where it was. I'm not a good planner. I don't like planning things. You plan it and tell me when it's going to happen and I'll show up. And that kind of happened when we got married. I had broken up with Richard. I grew up in Billings. He was in Bozeman. I'd broken up with Richard. And I heard by the grapevine that he had taken a job in Seattle, and he'd be leaving Bozeman soon. So I thought, oh, I better check back into this picture. And that was in 2 weeks he was leaving. In 2 weeks, we were married, and we were off to Seattle. And I didn't have to wait. It just happened right away. And it's worked. Was it 2 weeks ago we celebrated 57 years? I didn't even buy a new dress. My mother said, if you want a nice wedding, you can pay for it. And I thought, I'd rather have the money. I'll just... So I'm not good at waiting. And you know, Sarah, Abraham's wife, was not good at waiting. If we look back in Genesis chapter 15, we find Abraham all worried. The Lord has said, I'm going to bless you. And Abraham's thinking, so what good is that? I don't have any heirs. And when I die, where is all my stuff going to go? Well, my servant's going to get it. And then the Lord took him outside. And I like to think it was a big sky Montana night, and all the stars were out. He pointed up to the sky and he said, Abraham, can you count all the stars? Your heirs are going to be as many as the stars. But you know, Sarah didn't have such great faith. We find her in chapter 16 and said, you know, Abraham, take my servant Hagar, and we can have a son that way. It was, you know, it was okay to do that. You could have a son. And so he took his Hagar, and she became pregnant, and the bigger she got, you know, the more she began to look down on her maiden. I can see her, can't you, flaunting it? Yeah, I'm going to have a baby. And before long, Sarah was becoming very angry. She didn't like it that her servant was looking down on her with contempt. So she went to Abraham and she said, look what you have done to me. Yeah, you have done to me. God's going to judge between you and me. Well, eventually, Hagar did have a child. And Ishmael, eventually, just because of the jealousy and the antagonism between the relationship, Ishmael and Hagar were sent away. And she'd taken things in her own hand. And do we ever do that sometimes? Rather than waiting on the Lord, we think maybe it's easier to just do it ourselves. The first seven verses of the chapter, David's encouraging himself. he's exhorting himself. And in the last five verses, he's exhorting other people. As we observe David in Psalm 62, I think he can give us some clues on learning how to wait. And so if you look in the back of the bulletin, I put a simple outline. Number one, wait silently. Remember that word wait means silently. Verses 1 and 2, my soul waits in silence for God only. From him is my salvation. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense, and I shall not be greatly shaken. And when I think of him waiting in silence, I think of one of my younger grandsons. He's just turned 16, I think. But when he was little, his mother would go out in the morning very early. She'd be sitting in her lounge chair, and she'd be drinking her coffee. And all of a sudden, we'd hear this little pitter-patter of feet, and he'd come trotting out, and he'd jump up in her arms. And of course, this thing was, good morning, sunshine, good morning, sunshine. And then he'd just snuggle up in her arms, and he'd be quiet. I know that he felt safe and loved. And that's the way I picture this. David feels safe, and he's loved. And he's silently cuddled up in the Father's arm, knowing that he's taking care of him. You know, I used to have a CD, well, not a CD, an LP in the old days, called Meditations in Psalms. Eventually, I taped it so I could listen to it on the way to work. And so it was just, you know, that guy that read it had one of those deep, throaty voices that really comforts you. And this one day I'm driving to work, and they're reading this selection of Psalms. I'm just getting so excited. I'm having a hallelujah breakdown. And I get real loud when nobody else is around. And all of a sudden the voice said, be still and know that I am God. And I started laughing. I thought, you know, God has a sense of humor. We have some good advice in Ecclesiastes 5:2. It says, as you enter the house of the Lord, keep your ears open and your mouth shut. It's evil to make mindless offerings to God, and don't make rash promises, and don't be hasty in bringing matters before God. After all, and we sing it, God is in heaven, we are here on earth, so let our words be few. I've got some good reasons to do that. Number one, so we don't give God instructions. Have you ever prayed that? Giving God instructions, just exactly how you want the prayer answered? Or number two, maybe we want to give him a timeline. You know, I'd like it by Tuesday of next week. And last but not least, so that we don't give God our complaints. Like the children of Israel, continually murmuring and complaining, eventually taking 40 years to do a trip that they could have done in 11 days. You know, I remember one night laying in bed shortly after we arrived in China. They hadn't hired me as a teacher because I didn't have a degree. But once they get you there, you know, they use you. And I ended up having like 400 students. I remember getting up at 5:30 in the morning and begin to get ready for classes. We'd have classes, come home for just what they called shushi time, a little nap time. And then at night we'd have visitors every night till the doors would close on our particular building, which was usually about 11 o'clock. And after about a month, I laid in bed and I just said, God, I'm not going to make it. I don't have the energy. And I remember saying to the Lord, but you said, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up on wings as eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not faint. And I go, I'm waiting. And you know, God was good to his promise. It actually, I have to say, it was probably one of the best years of my life. I came home tired, but I truly enjoyed it. So, number one, we need to wait silently for God. David said, he only is our rock and our salvation. He is our defense. And he asked if there was any particular song I wanted to sing, and I said, wait upon the Lord. Strength will arise as we wait upon the Lord. Have you noticed that? As you begin to spend time with the Lord in prayer, suddenly those trials don't seem so big. And so, number one, wait silently on God. Number two, wait expectantly. My soul wait in silence for God only, for my hope, or some translation says, my expectation is from him. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense, and I shall not be shaken. If you note in verses 2 and 6, they say exactly the same thing, except for one word. In verse 2, David said, I shall not be greatly shaken. And now his strength is growing, and he said, I will not be shaken. I love it. You know, I remember when Psalm 62:5 became very personal to me. You know, you read the word, and then there, you know, in a time when God just brought it home and used it in your own life. And it was a time when I was discouraged and I was down. I'm basically, by nature, a happy person, but it was a time we were having struggles with one of our kids, and I just, it was like there was a cloud or a blanket over my spirit. And we went to a Bible study one night, and everybody says, well, let's just share what our needs are tonight. And I remember sharing how I felt, and one guy said, well, I just can't identify with you. I'm at a really good place right now. And all of a sudden, I just sort of closed up, and I thought, I'm not going to share that anymore. And I remember going around seeking encouragement from other people. You know, we have ways of fishing for it. And when they didn't come through, I'd be upset and angry. And finally, I remember one night just saying, Lord, okay, using this verse, my soul waits only upon you because my expectation is in you. It's not in those other people. And so I said, okay, God, you know whether I need encouragement or not, and I'm leaving it in your hands. And it was kind of fun. I had started a bookstore in the church that we were in, and because I worked in another really big bookstore, and a little five-year-old came in before the service, and she just started chatting with me, and it's just amazing. We had this wonderful conversation, and I was feeling so good, and later that night after the service, other people came in, and I was, you know, that cloud was beginning to lift. I went to work that week, and somebody called on the phone and said, Ida, do you know what your name means? I go, no, it means happy. And I'm thinking, I don't feel very happy. But you know what happened? Later in the day, a lady came in. She was a single mother, and she was, one of our regular customers. And there were about five of us that worked in the store. And she said, brought me a rose. She said, I just wanted to thank you for the way you help me all the time. Suddenly, you know, I was more true to the meaning of my name. I was happy. And so I remember saying to the Lord, you mean I have forfeited all this encouragement just because I was trying to get it for myself? You know, when we place the expectations in other people, we set ourselves up for disappointment. You know, in our church in Southern California, actually, we were going to a church in Southern California. It was pretty little. It started mushrooming and getting bigger and bigger and bigger. And for the most part, it was single adults, the raw material from the streets, and they were dragging their friends in. And this church continued to grow, and eventually Richard was asked to go on staff with that church. We had a lot of young people. Then we also planted a church in Bozeman, and once again, we had a lot of young people. Richard taught part-time at the university, and we had two beautiful daughters, and that helps grow a church. So we had lots of singles, and you know what a lot of singles are placing their hope on? Ah, my soulmate, the one that's going to complete me and just make me completely happy. And we had one girl that started living with the guy and ended up pregnant, and pretty soon he was gone. Before long, she was living with somebody else, and she got pregnant again, and he was gone. And I remember trying to talk to her. Why? She said, I just want to be happy, and God wants me happy, doesn't he? And I'm thinking, Dr. Phil wasn't around then, but I probably would have said, and how's that working for you? Then there was our daughter, Sherry. You know, we had about five different people during a period of time that felt that she was the one God gave them. We went to, when we first moved to Bozeman, we stayed in the YWAM house and we met this young guy. We just met him. He said, you know, God told me that your daughter is the one for me. Well, it didn't turn out that way. We had a young guy that moved up from Southern California with us to plant the church. And after a year or so, he let us know that God told him she was the one for him. And I think there were at least five of them. None of them were the one for him. But the young guy that moved up with us from California suddenly became very bitter and angry towards Richard and I because he felt it was our fault that she didn't marry him. And so there's a danger in placing our expectations in other people and in things instead of on the Lord. Then there was our youngest daughter, Mary. She came home from MSU one day and she said, I'm not dating anymore. It's a stupid game, and if God wants me to have someone, he can bring them. And so guys would call on the phone, and she said, just tell him I'm not there. And so then eventually she was going to go down to Southern California for vacation, and our former pastor kind of liked her. She's our really shy one, and he said, why don't you come up to family camp? And she said yes, but she really wasn't planning on going. But she eventually went to camp, and there was this young guy sitting next to her, and they sort of made friends, and this is the story. Their elbows touched, and there were sparks. And she did marry him. I used to tell the single girls in our church, stop running around to all the churches. God can't find you when he does have the right one. My soul, wait thou only upon God, because my expectation is in him. Verse 7, it says, On God my salvation and my glory rest. The rock of my strength, my refuge is in God. I don't know why, but people were always giving me verses on quietness, you know. Be still and know that I am God. In quietness and confidence is your rest. Well, I'm not by nature a quiet person. And I guess Richard could testify to that. One of our first dates was a blind date, and I was a cheerleader from Billings Senior High. And all he remembers is I was the shortest one, and I was the loudest one. So, Psalm 30, verse 15, and it's another of my favorite verses. In quietness and confidence is your strength. But it's interesting when you begin to read the context of that scripture. Starts out in verse 1, woe to you, rebellious children. You take counsel, but you don't take counsel from me. You devise plans, but you don't consult my Holy Spirit. And then in verse 15, it says, in returning and rest, you shall be saved, and in quiet and confidence will be your strength. But it goes on, but you would not. And so they struggled on. And then down in verse 18, it says, therefore the Lord will wait that he may be gracious to you. And therefore he will be exalted that he may have mercy on you. For the Lord is a God of justice. Blessed are those who wait for him. Number one, wait silently. Wait expectantly. Don't put your expectations in other people or things. I think in our world, people put expectations in pleasure. I just want to have a good time. I want to have a good time all the time. And believe me, you will be disappointed if we place our expectations on others. Richard's pretty good, but he doesn't fulfill all of them. But when I have a little problem, I tell the Lord about it, and he knows how to deal with them. I know how to deal. You didn't know that, did you? So wait silently and wait expectantly. And last of all, wait continually. It's David's advice to us. See, now he's advising others. He's done talking to himself. Trust in him at all times, O people. Pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us. Selah. Pause and think about that. Psalm 31:15, David said, my times are in your hands. Proverbs says, man can make his plans, but God directs his steps. Our hope should not be in people or things or pleasure, but in God's power, as it says in the last two verses, and God's mercy, his loving kindness. Back to Psalm 61:2, David said, from the end of the earth I'll cry to you. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. And I guess that's the question I have for you today. Is your heart overwhelmed? Are there situations that you're dealing with? David said, cry out to the Lord. Take comfort in this. He's the creator of the universe. He's the sovereign Lord. In Jeremiah chapter 32, Jeremiah says, you are the Lord, the God of all mankind, the creator of heaven and earth. Is there anything too difficult for you? And then in verse 27, the Lord answers back, I am the Lord God, the God of all mankind. And then he asks Jeremiah, is there anything too difficult for me? Number one, know that God knows your situation. Job 23:10. Here's Job in the middle of a huge trial, and he said, but God knows the way that I take, and when I am tried, I will come forth as gold. Number two, take comfort in the fact that God cares. 1 Peter 5:7, cast all your cares on him, because he cares for you. And number three, God is able. He's the all-powerful, sovereign Lord. Ephesians 3:20 says, he's able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that you could ask or think. And last of all, know that God has a plan. Romans 8:28, we know that all things work together for good to those that love God and are called according to his purpose. And Ephesians 2:10, because you are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for you to do. God has a plan. He said, I know the plans I have for you. They are for good and not for evil, to give you a future and a hope. And I want to end with a story about a friend of mine, Leona. I work at the hospital as a volunteer. We have a plaque in there that says, some friends are like stars. You don't always see them, but you know they're always there. And I feel like that about my friend Leona. We've been friends for about 50 years. We were in the same church together. We raised our kids together. She lives in Southern California. We don't rarely call each other, and never write. I show up twice a year, and like Leona said to some friend of hers, we just sort of pick up where we left off and go on. And when we were living in Bozeman, we used to go home, because we have two children down in Southern California. Somehow they like the sunshine better than the snow. I don't know why. But I decided, we had driven all night from Bozeman to California, and I wanted to call my friend, except it was like 7 in the morning, and you know, Proverbs warns you about calling people too early in the morning, but I thought, you know, it's okay. I just got here, and I'm going to call Leona, and I said, Leona, I started to apologize. She goes, where are you? Where are you? I told God I needed my friend. And I go, what's wrong, Leona? And well, her husband of 25 years had decided to leave her. Leona had been a stay-at-home mom and what you might call a naive person, but I think she's very naive about the things it's good to be naive about. After he decided to leave her, she told me one day, she said, you know, I think he programmed me to be the dumb housewife. Well, I decided to go out to breakfast with Ted and see what was going on. I said, well, how could you do this? He said, well, the only thing I'm worried about is Leona. I just don't know how she's going to do. I said, well, then you can forget about that, because she's doing just fine. I remember Leona saying to me, all I know, Ida, is I got Jesus, and I'm hanging on. I am not letting go. And it was amazing to watch Leona blossom as a person, this quiet little housewife, obedient little housewife, suddenly blossoming. All of a sudden, she's going on mission trips all over the world. She gets a wonderful job, and the people like her. She's working as a head of volunteers at a huge hospital in Southern California, and her bosses are asking for new positions for her, and God gave her a wonderful job. Matter of fact, and then she had these single girls that used to come and live with her, and two of our daughters did that when they moved back down to California. Matter of fact, when one of the young girls decided to get married, she asked Leona to be the maid of honor. And so it's just fun for me to see how Leona begin to blossom. She said, all I know is I got Jesus and I'm not letting go. I talked to her last week. We had lunch together. And by the way, you might want to thank Richard and I for the sunshine. We came back on Thursday and brought it back from California. Anyway, Leona had gone to see the movie. I think it's called The Fault in Our Stars. I had to look it up. She said, it was okay. There wasn't anything bad in it, but there's no hope in it. And Leona, she's as short as I am. And she's basically pretty quiet. And so when she came out of the movie, there's this big circle of girls standing around. She goes, are you going in to see that movie? And they go, yeah. Leona goes, there's no hope in it. There's no hope in it. The only hope is in Jesus. And Leona walked off, and she turned around. Of course, they're laughing, and they're pointing at her. And Leona could care less. Let me ask you this. Is your heart overwhelmed today? Like David, cry out to the Lord. Wait on the Lord. Psalm 40, verses 1 through 3. I waited patiently for the Lord, and he turned to hear my cry. He lifted me up out of a slimy pit, out of the mud and the mire. He set my feet on a rock, and he gave me a firm place to stand on. He put a new song in my mouth, a hymn of praise to our God. Many will see and fear and put their trust in the Lord. What can we learn from David? Wait silently. Just cuddle up in the Father's arms. Know that he loves you with an everlasting love. He cares about you. You're his costly possession. Do you realize the price he paid to have you as one of his children? Wait expectantly. Don't put your expectations in other people or possessions. My daughter just had a friend that they were very, very wealthy people. She went to a going away party for them last week. They had sold the business, somehow they overspent, and they ended up with nothing. We can't put our expectations in material things or in other people. And I like to read Psalm 62:5 from the Amplified Bible because I think it just says it just right. Remember that little door, my soul? Sometimes we need to encourage ourselves, right? My soul, wait only upon God and silently submit to him, for my hope and expectation are in him. Strength will rise. Strength will rise as we wait upon the Lord. And so, Father, we just thank you for your word. Father, we thank you for the encouragement from your word by David. And thank you, Lord, that we can just snuggle up in your arms. And even things may look like a big mess. God, we know that you are the blessed controller of all things. You are the Lord God, the God of all mankind. And there is nothing too difficult for you. In Jesus' name, amen.